I watched one of your videos on YouTube, and you were talking about your hands on your heart. And as soon as I watched that video, then I tried. And you can easily find that there is something actually when you bring your awareness there.
There's certainly a brain center in the heart center, and placing hands on the heart, as you said, brings attention there. Mm-hmm. And I think it also activates. In my own experience, having my hands, it enables a deeper connection in meditation for me personally. I feel like I drop into space or into that lovely sacred chamber easier when I've got my hands on my heart center.
When you see the darkness, you automatically see the light. But many healers, astrologers, medium are talking about this great awakening that is happening, moving from 3D to 5D. Are you also believing something is happening like that?
So I think what's important right now is that we recognize that my life is good when I feel good. That's the truth. So, yeah. And that's up to me.
In what you were talking about, those negative moments also, I realized now I try to use them. When I feel negative, I feel low frequency, I try to ask myself, why do I feel this way? Because there's always a belief. If I feel bad, it's because there's a belief first.
I like to add to that, what is the solution here? What's great about this situation that I'm in? If I say, what's wrong with me? My brain will give me a big list and I'm going to go down. So I've got to ask a question that guarantees a positive answer.
So thank you very much for joining us for a new episode on the Sanskriti Radio podcast. Today, I'm very excited to talk to Mark Carlson. I didn't know about him before last week, but since I discovered Mark, I watch all his videos and I try to apply as best as I can his technique. So today we are very excited to talk to Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Benoit. It's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Lovely to meet you.
You too. You too. Great.
So where are you talking to? Where are you talking from today?
I'm in the north of England now, in the top of North Yorkshire. I've spent a lot of time in Thailand. In fact, the last 24 years I lived in Thailand, but for the last 3 years I've moved back to England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come back for family reasons. Look after my mom, basically.
That's also something good. A good reason to come back.
It is a great reason. Yeah.
So maybe we can start by telling us a bit more about yourself. I know that you are many things, a spiritual life coach, a healer, a guide. But can you tell a bit more about yourself and your journey?
Yeah, well, I started in the oil industry and in my adult life, working offshore and in the Middle East. And then I had an opportunity to go traveling to Australia when I was 25. And so I set off thinking I was going to be away for 6 months, and I stayed away for 33 years. I didn't come back to England for 33 years. And in that process, I discovered personal and spiritual development and went through many different courses and lots of internal learnings and really enjoyed the process. At times, of course, it's not easy. It really is the road less traveled. You know, this is the title of M. Scott's M. Scott Peck, I think it is. What's his name? M. Peck. Anyway, whatever it is. M. Scott Peck or something like that. He has a book called The Road Less Traveled.
And yes.
Yeah. And it really is the road less traveled because it's quite challenging to find the stuff inside that needs healing. But, you know, once you embark upon this journey, it finds you.
There's no turning back.
No, there's not. You can't undo the awareness that comes, you know. So, and that was my journey. And as I was journeying along, I recognized I had some major problems with addiction. And they took me further into discovering myself and and within that journey, of course, it's a challenge to step out of the addictive personality and find a new way of living. Yeah. And whilst living in Hong Kong, I met a guy called Paul Walsh, who was who still is a trans channel, a lovely guy, an amazing guy. Mm. And he introduced Merlin to us. He would always start his channels with Merlin the Wizard And I would attend these courses for every Monday night for 2 years. And Merlin would always say, it's not the words that I'm speaking, it's the energy that comes through. And sure enough, the room would fill with this incredible energy. You know, it was remarkable to me because I wasn't spiritually inclined, or at least I didn't think I was at the conscious level at that time in my life. I was still very much into, you know, watching football.
The mature world. And
chasing the girls and, you know, drinking beer and very much from the Northeast England culture. I was still very much involved in that. And so these Monday nights were very special to me. And I got a particular affinity with Merlin. And he would start to come into my awareness during the week. I would be walking and I'd get these blue flashes of light within my consciousness. And I'd think, oh, it's Merlin. And I'd feel a particular feeling. And there was like a rush that would go down my face. And long story short, years later, he brought to me the first symbol of what has now become the Merlin Trinity Healing System. And so, yeah, he's continued to stay with me via this healing system. And I've been aware enough to use the system every single day on myself. And it's been a tremendous tool for my own personal and spiritual development by putting my hands on myself each day, balancing my chakras and bringing the light into my body. It's been remarkable for me. And of course, there are so many different modalities. And they're all great. They're all great. You know, it doesn't matter which one we find as long as it feels right for us. And that's what's lovely, I think, you know.
Yeah, I watched one of your videos on YouTube and you were talking about your hands on your heart. And as soon as I watched that video, then I tried. And you can easily find that there is something, actually, when you bring your awareness there. It's very easy. And so I've been doing this as much as I can. I don't know the technique. I don't know because I just met you. But I don't know if it's just because of the hands or it's because we become more aware also when we have hands on our body. So it would be also possible to do it without hands also, just by placing your attention there.
There's certainly a brain center in the heart center.
Yeah.
Placing hands on the heart, as you said, brings attention there. Mm-hmm. And I think it also activates, in my own experience, having my hands, it enables a deeper connection in meditation for me personally. I feel like I drop into space or into that lovely sacred chamber easier when I've got my mm-hmm. hands on my heart center. But, you know, yes, I think just bringing our attention to that place away from the madness of the mind, it softens. We're coming into the feminine part of ourself. And that's the part that's been dormant for eons, you know, and that's the new age that's with us right now. You know, we're the goddess energy, the feminine energy, which is connecting us at the heart with each other, that drops the walls of separation. That energy is with us now. And so any way that we can get to her, I think is relevant. You know, this is the way that works for me, but it doesn't really matter. As long as you can, if you can access that beautiful sacred space at the heart center, then we're onto something great.
Yeah, and everything feels better afterwards. Can you explain a bit more about the system that you share? Are you the creator of it?
I am the creator. Well, I'm the channel of it. Yeah, I'm
the channel of it.
I mean, it came through me from what I call it Merlin, because Paul Walsh would always say he was channeling Merlin. Yeah. But I have no idea if it's really Merlin. He just used to call it Merlin.
Yes.
And so it was the same feeling when that energy came through me. So I call it Merlin Trinity. And I don't mention any history about Merlin because I don't actually know whether it's that's the honest truth. What I know is that it was introduced to me with the name Merlin, so that's what I've brought forward.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an Osho sannyasin also, and he has a very similar feeling to me. When I listen to Osho and I get a feeling from Merlin, it's this jovial type of a wisdom. I always question it. They seem so similar to me. There's an affinity there. So anyway, I was given three symbols in a very short time, and I created the system. And over time, more symbols came, more understandings came. And I used my logical mind to put the system in place. And I have within each level, so for example, in level one, I have people running the energies for 63 days, three sets of 21 days, because I feel that's way more important than the actual two-day workshop. Of course, you need the two-day workshop to do it, but it's the work that we do, the daily discipline, whatever that is as you'll know as yogis, you know, it's the daily work that creates the mastery, that creates the transformations. And so that's why I put that in. And that's in every level, all the way up to the sixth level, which is a year-long training, you know, and it's just basically putting light into the body in a particular way. And it's lovely. It's been so healing for me and continues to expand consciousness for me. You know, I can only really say that it's been a healing system that's transformed me. There are lots of people that use it and are having similar results, especially the people that continue using it.
Consistent.
That's the key. You know, I have the greatest love and respect for Reiki. It's just that this is the one that came to me. I was privileged to get the Reiki master attunement, but there are Reiki masters on the planet that spent several years becoming a master. And then there's lots more of us that took a two-day workshop and became a master. So I'm not really a Reiki master, but I took that Reiki master attunement, you know, so I don't really see myself as a Reiki master, even though that's the certificate that I have. So I really have the greatest respect for the true Reiki masters. But I also saw the benefit of bringing the energy to a lot of people on the planet, because I think that's what we need. And I think that we need as many healing systems as possible, especially now, you know, we need the light to come in.
Yeah, so especially like regarding this, I can feel since probably 2020, actually for myself, you know, the awakening that happened. And at first it was very dark. That's why I tell people, maybe that's how it works. When you see the darkness, you automatically see the light. But many healers, astrologers, medium are talking about this great awakening that is happening, moving from 3D to 5D. Are you also believing something is happening like that?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think the work that we have to do right now is to become conscious of the way that we feel. Yeah. Because if you think about life, first and foremost, I'm the only thing that's going on that I know of, right? I see you and I know you exist, but I have no experience of anything outside of me. It's always an internal reality, always. And so I think that, you know, we've been programmed to watch the screens, and within the screens, there is a directive. And if we follow that directive, it's fear-based, regardless of which side you're on. There's fear on both sides. So I think what's important right now is that we recognize that my life is good when I feel good. That's the truth. So, and that's up to me. So I've got to, my work as a conscious human being is to raise my feeling, especially when it's not feeling particularly good, is to step inside and say, I need to come in here. Nobody on the outside has caused me this, you know, it's my work. So when this whole pandemic thing started, I was very upset with the politicians in my country and the elites. You know, I had a lot of fear going on. There was darkness, as you say. Yeah. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I'm walking up a tower. And I know that there's another tower. And the woman of my life, the dream woman that I've been waiting my whole life for in the dream, she's coming up and we're going to meet. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited. We get to the top. And there she is. And she's gorgeous. So we're about to meet. And Boris Johnson shows up, the ex-UK prime minister.
Yeah.
Yes. He shows up and he took her off me, stole her away from me.
No.
So I grabbed him and I threw him on the floor. And I'm not a violent man in any way, but in the room, I started punching him, but his face was all rubber and nothing. And he just kept smiling. Nothing happened. And that was the end of the dream. Now, what that clearly showed me was that my anger at Boris and his friends was not helping anything. In fact, it was losing the connection between the male and female dance between me. You see?
Okay, I see. Yeah.
You see, so and that really woke me up. Like, gosh, I've got to stop projecting because I was upset inside, but it wasn't helping me. So I've got to get back and bring my attention in instead of going out and raise my feeling level so that I can get back to love. And I think we all have to do this because when I feel good, nothing can stop that. Nothing.
Yeah. It goes back also to the wanting to change the world and you try, but maybe you are doing the opposite, you know, with the best intention. We don't know actually. But when you change yourself, then you get the wisdom also and the understanding and from love.
That's right. And eventually the outside world must follow you. So if I'm feeling good regularly, the reality, because we are more powerful than the outside world. We've just been brainwashed to believe that the outside world is directing us, you know, but it's not the truth. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
But because we think we're a victim to it, the system controls us. So we move out of the system by bringing more love into our own individual system and meeting other beings that are on a similar, as we are right now, you know.
But I'm wondering, because everything is love, and now that it's 4 years ahead of everything that changed, without this darkness, we would not be awake also in a way.
Exactly. It's necessary. And also...
necessary.
And also, the people that are playing the dark role, my teacher would always say, they have more courage, because it's easy to come and be the light bearer, you know, because everybody looks at you as great. But those that come and play the dark roles, it's more difficult. Now, I'm not condoning their actions in any way. What I'm saying is each player is playing a part for the consciousness of humanity to elevate. And if we can look at it that way, then we're onto something great, because we can then take away the division that we have between us and them, the dark and the light. And that's how we transcend it, you know.
That's amazing. It's very inspiring. And something else I was also thinking a lot about these days, and real life traumas and probably coming into this reality is also a form of trauma, because we are in the fear-based system, in the time system and space. But what would you say about our negative past and challenges? Like, is it our best opportunities? You know?
Firstly, I like to look, for the sake of healing, even though I absolutely wholeheartedly believe this, you know, we were conscious before we came here, and we chose to come here. And the reason we come here is because we get to experience negative emotions, because where we're from, they don't exist. So we come and experience them at the visceral level, at the cellular level. So they're a very important part of our development. Some people stay in them their whole life, and that's their karma, or they just don't get to the place where they wake themselves up around it. But it's still okay. But often, as you know, the greatest challenges hold within them the greatest diamond of opportunity for personal development. So I think that we also come, this place is limited. It's a finite reality. So we get to experience what manifestation, the process of manifestation, the process of beginning with a thought and taking it to the end result where it's accomplished. And that's the same of us. We are born and then we die. It's a temporary existence, which is the Maya. That's the illusion, because we are eternal. So I don't think there's anything wrong with a negative experience, as long as I can hold a perception that recognizes, okay, there's an opportunity here for me. there must be, because I'm the only one experiencing anything. And it's always me. So if it's negative inside, I could become a victim of that negativity.
Yeah.
Or I can decide, okay, what's great about this? What's the opportunity here? And then the whole thing has an opportunity to change. And my perception has changed the entire reality. So I think that, and I think now especially, because the vibration on the planet is lighter, you know, we can't stop this awakening, even though the screens are telling us that it's going the other way. The awakening is happening. There's so much light now. And that, and we've got to keep remembering that and keep telling each other that, because then we move into that vibration of light. And how wonderful is that? And so we can't stop this. And so I think it's easier for people to wake up with a little bit of calibration, with a little prod, you know, if we can assist people.
Yeah, it's easier now, no? It's easier to wake up now. Like before in my teaching, I used to say, when you put a coin, you get back the same amount. It's very fair. But now I feel if you put one, you get three. I feel like that right now.
Yes, there's lots more reflection of the light. And I think that it's easier for other people to see. I've got friends who were so asleep 4 years ago that are waking up. They're not spiritually inclined, and they don't speak this language that we are speaking, but they're still waking up. There's like, this is right, there's something happening. And it's so refreshing to see this, I think.
Yeah. Can you tell us about a bit more about love? Because that's the center, I think, of the Merling system, a healing system.
Yeah, I think that the whole thing, you know, my teacher Brujoy would say that unconditional love is the glue that's holding everything together always. And within that spectrum of love is everything. So, you know, he would say when a couple argues a lot, they're making love. They just can't get intimate at this particular level of consciousness. So they argue to keep themselves in the dynamic together, you know, but it's still part of making love. And I think that's the same all the way down at every level of consciousness, because the source of everything is love. And there's nothing anywhere that's not included within that vibration of intelligence. So the whole thing is love. But I think that as we consciously become aware of a more loving vibration in our internal system, then of course we get to experience more love, and that's just a lovely thing. That's wonderful, because love has one directive, and that is to love. You know, a lovely
the nature.
Yes, a lovely question is, what would love do right now? In my situation, if I'm stuck, what would love do? You know, and then my mind at times will say, it doesn't want to find that answer because it's stuck in its righteousness. But with time, when I center myself, what would love do? Where am I right now? What's going on? You know, and that's our continual work, is to redirect our attention internally and say that life is this way because of who I am. Because I'm the only one experiencing it. I must have something to do with it. In fact, I must have everything to do with it, because here I am experiencing it, you know.
Yeah, and also we should be aware of what we are feeling and what we are thinking. You start more and more looking at it as an object. Like if I wake up in the morning and I feel anxiety, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it.
That's so key. And getting to that point of awareness is the work for an initiate to get to a place where they can develop that observer muscle that looks at the moment's experience and recognizing that I'm not it. Yes, that's going on, but that's not who I am, really.
Yeah.
And of course, with the acceptance of I'm in this state right now and it's okay, it has an opportunity to change, because there's no judgment on self. It's when I say, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? And I judge myself. it can't change because there's a conflictual energy inside of me. What there's one force, and then there's my mind saying, you shouldn't be this way. You should be perfect. You know, we never are.
And do you need to, do you still meditate?
You know, for me, I'm so clear that disciplining my days, the key to transforming myself. I'm so aware of that now. So I never miss, never, ever. I have to be really sick, and which is rare anyway, but I do not miss my meditation practice. I do a Qigong meditation as well as Vipassana, and it changes my reality. It changes life for me. I highly recommend people to start a meditation process. And if you're a beginner, start with 5 minutes a day. Do it for two or 3 weeks, and then move it up to 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's also a way to clean yourself, no? It's like in a shower. Otherwise, you accumulate, and then you don't even know what you're feeling and how to resolve it. It's like too much.
Exactly right, because you become aware of things daily because of the meditation practice. Mm. That's exactly right. And you're cleansing because you're becoming aware of who you are. You start to see what things mean for you and what things feel for you. It's just, the benefits are just tremendous. There's so many benefits. I wish I'd known younger. I wish I'd become aware of this at a younger age. But I recommend everyone meditate. The whole world would be different if we taught this to our children, all of us, you know.
Yeah, but I guess it's part of it. It has to be a bit dark. It has to be divided. No, the division is necessary
for this experience. So if you look at the thing that divides everything is our mind, and the language that we use. So without language, I couldn't say that this is my hand and this is my arm. Mm. So language divides everything. And so I like to look at, you know, if I look at the room that I'm sitting in, if I were to imagine I didn't have language, then I just have this experience.
Yeah.
There's different, I'm having to use language to describe it, but there's different shapes and colors, but it's just one thing. And that's her, that's where she is. That's the heart, that's the heart's experience. So as long as we stay here and, you know, we come purposefully with different languages and different skin colors and different beliefs to keep this illusion of separation valid so that we can have this experience of third dimensional reality. But we're at a point in our life where we are, as a collection of humans, going to take it to its next level. And that's a miraculous experience. And my teacher, my Osho, my master, he said to me in a dream when I went to Pune, I've only been to Pune once, to his ashram, in 1997. And he said to me in a dream while I was there, I thought everybody would dream about, because I had a dream while I was there, I thought it must be a common thing. But after talking to people, they said, oh no, it's not so common. But Sweeney, all he said to me was, you'll die before it happens, but you must do it. And that's what he said. Now, this was 97, so I was a lot younger. And I've always questioned it. What is it? I thought it was something that I had to do, but, and of course it is, but what he's talking about is that there will be a conscious evolution. And I'm possibly, by the sounds of it, from Osho's point of view, I'm going to die before it happens. But I must do the work to initiate people, to help people to recognize that we're going home and we're going to do it consciously. And apparently that's an amazing experience when we all wake up at the same time and the whole thing shifts to the next thing. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but I mean, look at the rubbish that we get on the TVs nowadays, the satanic rituals that are coming from the screens, trying to lower the vibration, you know. But
it's reaching less and less people. It's reaching less and less. For me, there's still, for example, my dad, who is 24/7 with the news on full volume. And at least he's not getting angry when I give the truth. But he's not, he doesn't have any desire to search. I think for him, knowing the truth would be too much also. For his system, he would not, he would be depressed. Yeah, too painful, yeah. So now I don't push,
That was the same with my dad when he was alive. I remember trying to explain some things about what I believed was happening at 9/11, and he got so angry with me. And then later, when it became a bit more mainstream, you know, 10, 15 years later, and they were saying that possibly it was an inside job, he was, you know, leaning that way. And I said, hey, what was all that anger at me about?
Even after that, he would not remember that you were right.
He wouldn't have it. It was funny. It's a funny situation, but yeah.
So, and I think we don't need anywhere everyone to wake up. It's more like, I believe the French Revolution or the American Revolution was only 5 or 6% of the population who were awake or wanted a change. But maybe now with the AI and the control system, it needs a bit more. But still, the wave is here. You can feel it. Sometimes you feel it's too much also for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's
like a pressure cooker. But maybe not for everyone. Like, you know, last week we had a full moon and we had the eclipse and the solar waves. And I told my student, like, do you feel it? It's like, and they talked to me about sleep. No, I slept okay. I say it's not only sleep. And it's not only today. It's throughout the months since September or August. It's crazy. Do you not feeling? But they don't have this. It's not everyone.
Not yet. And I think it does take a level of awareness before you can really understand what it means to feel. You know, I was a walking head as a young man. There was, I couldn't feel, I didn't know what it meant. I had no awareness of what feelings were. Then all of a sudden I'd break down in a workshop or, you know, to this day when I see couples, if I see children performing, it makes me cry for some reason. And if I see a movie, a daft, stupid Hollywood movie where they fall in love at the end, it makes me cry. You know,
because it's open.
It's hard. Yeah, you see, it's so. But when I was younger, I didn't know anything was going on, and then there'd be some event that would bring me to my feelings, and it would be sort of catastrophic to me at the time. Mm.
It might be also more difficult for men because we have to be cut from our feelings, but women, maybe they have to be too much in it. So, like, there's a balance. But,
Exactly right. But, you know, I've had lots of clients over the years, women in the corporate world, that, and I'd say to them, you've got to learn to take your penis off, you know, when you leave the corporate, you know, because they're really in a masculine vibration.
It's a competitive, no? Yeah. This is another rabbit hole also, the female and male relationship, and we are trying to untangle this. It's like it was wrong before because maybe there was an imbalance, but now we went the other way, and it's all okay.
It's all okay, and I think if you are aware that the opposing side is trying to keep us confused, because when we're confused and in fear, it's easier for us to be controlled, you know. But when people wake up and they start to trust that sacred space inside of themselves, that's the difference. That's when the whole thing changed for me, when I discovered my sacred home that I can always rest into and trust, and didn't need the outside to guide me. But, you know, millions don't want to take that responsibility. I think we've been brainwashed for a long time now to believe, to give our power over to those that are running things, you know. We could talk forever on that topic, I think, but you know what I mean.
Yes. And what about manifesting? Is it better? Because from what I understand is we are always manifesting. We are always perfect manifestors. Because everything, even this conversation, has been manifested. even the wrong things in my life. But when you operate from love, do you manifest more of what you prefer?
I certainly think that's the truth. And I think that the more that I work on bringing love into my system, then of course I become more loving. And when I'm more loving internally, I tend to do what I love to do. And yeah. when I do what I love to do, life reflects that back to me. And it's not necessarily having, you know, 5 Rolls Royces or it's not about that. It's, yeah. you know, it's really about if I had the thing that my mind wants in the material world, what would I feel like? Well, so that's what we're working toward, really. We yeah. want, what do I want? What am I feeling? What's the feeling that I'm looking for? Mm. And that's what we want to be. In my daily manifestations, I work on what feeling do I want from having that stuff? What is yeah. it? And I just sit with that. And it's a comfortable, lovely, secure feeling that I...
It feels like a shortcut also. And all my life I was trying to manifest, but I was manifesting from a lack. Like, can I please have this?
As in my early 30s, I was living in Hong Kong and in the first few years in Thailand, and I was so broke. I was so broke. And I one of my clients in Hong Kong was married to one of the wealthiest men in the whole city. They owned half the city.
Yeah.
And she said to me one day, we were having a cup of tea, and she said to me, you and my husband, when it comes to money, you and my husband are very similar. I looked at her. I never knew when I was going to be able to feed myself the next day at that time. And I looked at her like she must be crazy. And she said, because all you ever do is think about money. And, you know, it was the wisest thing that anybody could have said to me at the time, because of course, he was thinking about, he had so much of it, where to put it. Whereas I was thinking, all I was thinking of all the time was, I don't have enough. And yeah. that's what I kept manifesting again and again and again and again.
From a feeling of worry and...
That's right. And I remember starting to tell people, now that I don't have to worry about money, things are getting better. And they all thought that I'd inherited something or something, but I'd made a decision. I'm just not going to worry about it. And it didn't happen overnight, Benoit. It took some time, but I was really working on, I'm just not going to worry about it anymore. And things start to change.
Yeah, yeah, I feel it's the only way to do it. And it's to remove those negative feelings, but it's not easy. That's why the technique is the techniques are necessary. Yeah. So,
you know, when you put in light, the light that we put into our body is infinitely intelligent. It knows which parts of us need the attention the most, so we don't have to worry about it. That's what's great about a healing system. Yeah.
And what you were talking about, those negative moments, also I realize now I try to use them when I feel negative, I feel low frequency. I try to ask myself, why do I feel this way? Because there's always a belief. If I feel bad, it's because there's a belief first. So now even a negative moment becomes an opportunity to discover the negative beliefs and change them.
It's so powerful that you can look from that place instead of looking from the victim is transformational, because you'll definitely change it. And I like to add to that, you know, what is the solution here? What's great about this situation that I'm in? Because then my brain starts to, if I say what's wrong with me, my brain will give me a big list and I'm going to go down. So I've got to ask a question that guarantees a positive answer. And so that's where I go as well.
Yeah. And somebody, when people come to my class and they say, I'm sorry, I have a pain here. I say, good, because now you can be aware.
Yeah. Well, the two areas that bring us in are pain and pleasure. That's, you know, and when it's intense, a lot of people wake up from traumatic events. They go on their spiritual path because the pain has brought them to look, to finally come out of their mind and look and start questioning what got me to this? You know, how has this happened? Why am I at this point in my life where everything's so painful?
Yeah, without blaming anyone else anymore. Because otherwise, that's you lose your power, no? If you... And at your level, do you still need to, apart from meditation, do you do any special technique like cold bath, any fast? Ah, yes. I also teach that. I also, yeah. And we have a cool river here. Like one day, if you come nearby, you should come here. And
I have, it's not as good, but I do, I have a shower and then I finish it with 1 to 2 minutes of freezing cold water.
Yeah. Wow,
it helps, but it's not the same as jumping in. I've never done the ice bath, but I do the Wim Hof breathing. So after I've done my healing, I do that in bed. I get up and then I do Wim Hof breathing, and then I go into meditation. I find meditation is amazing immediately after the Wim Hof breath.
What do you do when you meditate?
Well,
I
spin the Merkaba. Have you heard of the Merkaba meditation by Drumvalo Melchizedek? Well, I won't explain it more than that, but it's a 17 breath meditation that I've been doing for years. It's by a guy called Drumvalo Melchizedek. The Flower of Life, his books are called The Flower of Life. Phenomenally good books, by the way. Anyway, so I do that, and then I do it's called the Small Universe Meditation. It's from Qigong. So there's 12 points within the body, and we breathe in energy into these 12 points and create this.
It sounds a bit like Kriya Yoga, a little bit. Like you move your awareness and you become aware of the chakras or those energy points. Have you ever read the autobiography of a yogi?
I read it about 30 years ago. I love that book, Paramahansa Yogananda. Yes,
it's a powerful book. Yes,
it's incredible. And you know, if someone else had have written that, I don't think I would have believed it. But because he wrote it, you can only think that it must have been true. You just can't imagine that he would make that stuff up. But it's miraculous, absolutely miraculous.
He had like unbelievable faith. He was like, there was nothing that could change his faith, actually.
And they said he was destined, in the book, he said he was destined to marry somebody, but he wouldn't let that go, would he? He said, no, my only marriage is to God.
Yeah.
So, incredible.
That's absolutely an amazing book also.
Yes.
I actually learned about you because my wife's sister has been introduced to the system and from India. And so I'm very grateful and... I would love to talk again next time.
I would love that. And if you'd like to try the system, please, it'd be my honor to share.
I would love.
Yeah.
I would love.
Yeah.
Yes. And can you tell the audience how to find more about yourself?
Yeah, the website is MTHS. theawakeninghealingsystem.com. It's a bit of a mouthful, but that's MTHS. theawakeninghealingsystem.com. It's all on there.
And so people are registered and they have to start from they will get to work.
They purchase the initiate level. There's one level, it's not a level, there's one how would I call it? A symbol or energy is called the Merlin Cleanser, and that's not part of the six levels. So people can test it. It's very cheap, and they can test the energy with the Merlin Cleanser. So that's all in the system if they want to buy that. And at the moment, I'm not running any live workshops, so they're all recorded webinars. But it's available. It's all available today.
Yeah, and people, when I went to India, they're like, are you crazy? You're going to be like a shock to go to India and all this. But for me, the shock one was when I came back. Because I could see that the misery and the loneliness and the sense of individuality, which is more strong. And over there, if you look from your own mind, you might feel poverty or something, But actually, it's so rich when you know how to look.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
But it's the same in Thailand, I guess.
Yeah, the Asian culture is, they're very much more connected to each other than we are. But the Indian culture is by far the most spiritual place I've ever been to. And I say to everyone that who's never been to India, it is the most shocking place I've ever gone to start with. It's so shocking. The smells, it's just the smells to start with. But I said it's so rich and deep in
experience, you know? Because we actually came here to experience, so we'd rather... But sometimes it feels like people don't want to experience. They don't want to feel alive. They don't want to feel cold. They don't want to feel hungry. They don't want to... So it's like, I don't want to feel.
Don't want to change anything, do they? Too afraid to change. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Great.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Right.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you.
Lovely to meet you, Benoit.
Have a lovely day. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.